They've landed! They're here! They're here!
This is WHOR Television, and we're live. I cannot believe what I see. The ship has landed. It is beyond words. Oh, wait, the door is opening. There's a creature coming out, walking down the steps. He is speaking with the representative. Let's listen. It's so quiet, you can hear a pin drop.
Take us to your leader.
To be quite honest, you came at a really bad time.
Yes, timing is everything. And it's always a good time to have your car serviced at Perfection Auto Works, the leader in car repair, for over a quarter of a century. From our free 26-point inspection, we'll keep your car moving, along with the Earth's rotation, 323-8650, and perfectionautoworks.com.
The first streaming service wins some Emmy Awards. Phone companies now required to report tracking information for robocalls. Some countries embrace cryptocurrency, but why is China fighting it? And back to basics, can someone track you down online? All that and more next on The Computer Doctor Show.
You're listening to The Computer Doctor Show, your source for technology subjects affecting your business and personal life during this new normal. Your host is an award-winning office technician and IT specialist, author, tutor, ethical hacker, and recent winner on localbest.com as the best computer shop in Tucson. Broadcasting live, here's Aaron Moss.
Hello, Tucson and the podcast world. Welcome to the Computer Doctor Show, your headquarters for scam awareness, science, and cutting-edge technology talk. This is episode 63. I'm Aaron Moss, your host. Good to have you with us every Saturday. We post all of our shows and bonus content on computerdoctorshow.com. Again, computerdoctorshow.com. Our open lines, 520-790-2040. Feel free to call in anytime with your comments and questions. Co-hosting today is Alan from the Cassie Unscrewed Theater.
Hello, how are you?
Okay, good to have you with us again. The Computer Doctor Show is sponsored by Perfection Auto Works near Speedway Craycroft. They have free 26-point inspection. And when I have a really tough problem, I take my cars to the Perfection Auto Works and their expert diagnostic technicians over there. So give them a call. We're going to take a break from the regular news that you get on this station, and we're going to jump into seeing what's happening in the tech news world. First, the first streaming channel actually got some Emmys this week. So Apple TV Plus has become the first streaming service in history to land top program award in its second year of eligibility. So there's this TV show called The Ted Lasso Show. So it's on Apple TV Plus. I've not seen it myself, but it must be pretty good because that show won 7 Emmys, okay, in 7 different categories, as well as 4 other shows that won 1 Emmy each, and that was Boy State, Carpool Karaoke, the series, For All Mankind, Time Capsule, and Calls. Okay, so this is we're entering into a new era where now streaming services are acting like TV networks, and they're able to produce and have content and therefore win awards. So that would be the same thing with any of these other streaming services that are out there. You know, the oh, thank you, Tom. I think I left my phone in the other room. So, you know, in the future, we might see Netflix, you know, winning some awards, you know, because they're out there producing shows. And all of these other streaming services are winning awards. So that's something to look forward to. Also, phone companies are now required to report tracing information for robocalls. So we might see an end to robocalls, at least in the way that we're getting them now. So some of us that receive these robocalls, we may not have to worry about them in the future. There is this new enactment. Now, this actually happened about 21 months ago. It was an enactment by Congress. It was called the Telephone Robocall Abuse Criminal Enforcement and Deterrence Act.
Okay. That's a mouthful.
And that spells traced. Oh. Again, Telephone Robocall Abuse Criminal Enforcement and Deterrence Act. Traced. That's what it spells out.
Makes me wonder if they come up with the acronym first.
Yes.
Or the name of the organization to see if it spells something.
I think that's exactly what they're doing because they have to because they probably have maybe about five words that would be cool if it could get worked into one of these words. And then they just find words that are associated with it and just throw that in there and see what sticks, you know.
It's got to be what happened.
Yeah, so I don't think that they just came up with it. Oh, by the way, that also spells traced.
Oh,
that's pretty interesting.
What a strange happenstance. Yeah.
So the Traced Act was actually signed into law on December 30th, 2019, 21 months ago by Congress. Now, the FCC just 2 days ago, on September 23rd, 2021, they directed that phone carriers are to now report tracing information from suspected robocalls at least once a year. So this is your AT&T's, your Verizon's, your T-Mobile's, all these phone companies that are operating out there. They now have to report to the FCC of the things that they are finding when these supposed robocalls. Now, it was just a few months ago that they are supposed to be identifying spam calls or robocalls. Now that they have identified them, now they're kicking it up a notch. Now they can say, okay, those calls that you're identifying,
let us know.
Trace them. Yeah, let us know and trace them, okay? Because they're trying to go further back. Now, Alan, before the show we were talking about, you know, some of these robocalls were especially the ones that are generated from outside of the country, for
right.
example. You know, if you trace them back, what are you going to find?
You're going to find an IP address that's not American.
Okay. And if you trace that back and you keep tracing back and tracing back,
you're going to find an empty building.
An empty building or an empty room or of somebody
They've
that was there.
They've already moved on.
Exactly. So if you've ever gotten any of these spam calls or these type of trick calls from people trying to sell you something, and you try calling them, trying to call that same number back like 2 or 3 or 4 days later, you may find that phone number is now disconnected and no longer in use. And you thought you were thinking that it was like a big company that's been using that number for years, but they only use the phone number for a very short period of time. And then because they already know that it gets too hot, you know, after using it for a while. So they just recycle the number, they get another phone number, and then they start cycling and using up that number. And then when after a couple days of use, that number gets too hot, now they're off to the next phone number. And then they're even off to another location, you see. So that's how that works. So that's why it's so hard to track a lot of these services, a lot of these robocalls. But I'm not sure what kind of results the FCC is going to have with I mean, we want them. We want these robocalls to stop. You know, us normal people. Well,
I know
I
do.
I'm normal. Are you?
Yeah, I don't want random calls.
Right. So, I don't know how far this is going to go. There might be some grand scheme of things, but I'm not sure. But their efforts to include all in telecommunication areas. This includes not just the phone providers, but also the data center, the spoofing services, everything that makes their system work has some sort of connection with the FCC, and the FCC is also reaching out to those services to also report back to them as to where these calls are coming from. So they're bumping up their tracking using the Traced Act. Also, there are some countries that embrace cryptocurrency. We were talking about the Central American country. I forget what it was. They made crypto. They made Bitcoin a national currency. It was before the end of the show. I'll remember what it is. But there are some countries that are embracing it, and then there's other countries that are fighting it. So one of these countries that don't like cryptocurrency or Bitcoin at all is China. So China is said in a recent interview that they consider Bitcoin risky. They say that it is illegal because it is not approved tender. The Verge, which is a news service that we look at quite often, they recorded that cryptocurrency has disrupted the economy, according to China, and they've produced more money laundering and pyramid schemes, hence encouraging criminal business. So, yes, El Salvador. Thank you, Tom. El Salvador was the country that took on Bitcoin and made it a national legal tender. But China is not hearing that. Now, they say that when money functions without government, safety and stability disappear. And there's a little bit of truth to that. You know, when
I think it's doublespeak.
Okay, so it's when you know, the government is there to serve and protect, obviously. So when it comes to money, like if somebody wanted to copy or fake a $100 bill, okay, what agency would you be up against if you decided to counterfeit money? There would probably be the Secret Service, you know. Secret Service, you know, manages like a lot of the bank, and also the FBI gets involved with it too. So FBI gets more involved with check fraud and other banking. But when it comes to counterfeiting money, that's the Secret Service, right? So what about those that are doing illegal activity with cryptocurrency money, you know? Who's over that? Because it's not really backed by any country or government or power. It's basically a generally accepted value among people that buy it. Okay, so there's no way for people to, or there's no way for the government to enact or to say that you can or can't do something with that money, and it's not something that the government can track unless the government has secretly created their own coin. And you know, so but you see, that's where the future is, when people start creating their own platforms and their own coins. So I don't know how many cryptocurrencies there are out there, but some of the websites that I've been at, they're probably getting close to like 100 different coins, all with different names. Some of them are brand new. A buddy of mine just bought $1,000 of this new coin. He now owns like 127 million of this new coin, and he's just hoping that it just goes up by just a little bit. That way, he gets like an extra $200, $300, or something like that. He leaves it in there, and hopefully, in a couple of years, you know, he'll be like a billionaire or a millionaire or something like that. But that's what a lot of people are doing. They're using it as an investment vehicle. So just be careful. Do your research out there. The Bloomberg reports that China wants to crack down also due to the amount of power that is needed to mine cryptocurrency. So in order for cryptocurrency to even exist, you have to have a data center or a cavalcade of computers that are out there running around and always using up power and using up these calculations to keep up with the values of the cryptocurrency around the world. So China is actually on a power crisis right now. So they can't afford for all this power to be utilized into a system that they don't even like. Okay. They want all that to be towards manufacturing. And big electronic companies are trying to diversify their manufacturing to other countries so that they're not necessarily China dependent. And China just can't afford to have energy and power being used to mine cryptocurrency. So that's why they're putting this big kibosh on it. Okay, so we're going to take our midway commercial break. Up next, how traceable are you online, and some tech anniversaries. You're listening to The Computer Doctor Show. Stay tuned.
Welcome. Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum, the most talked to, talked about, and listened to talk show weekends in all of Arizona. Now in our 32nd year of continuous political talk. Very quickly, a personal note. I have a PT Cruiser. I love this little car. It takes me everywhere I need to go. Air conditioner goes out. Temperature gauge climbs to we're all going to die. I called AAA. They rushed the car to Perfection Auto Works Wednesday. Get a call on Thursday. Mike Emery says, your car's ready. I went, really? He says, yes. I said, the cost? He said, it's the estimate. Just what we told you. Didn't have time to detail the car because we wanted to get it back to you as quickly as possible. That's service. I mean, who does that? What auto repair place does that? That's why we're so proud to have Perfection Auto Works as our prime sponsor.
Perfection Auto Works, 323-8650. That's 323-8650 or perfectionautoworks.com.
Ugly Goose Car Rental is new in Tucson, providing a low-cost auto rental alternative for just $100 per week. The only catch? The cars are ugly, but very safe and reliable to get you to work, school, shopping, and all your important appointments. To reserve your $100 a week car rental, call Ugly Goose Car Rental at 520-261-0439. Again, 520-261-0439.
Computer Doctor of Tucson is the best choice in desktop support in Tucson. They fix error messages, power and boot problems, install of software and hardware, and much more. You can come to them, or they can come to you, or even have a remote support session so they can fix your issues over the phone quickly. Give them a call at 261-5508, 261-5508. Visit them on the web at ComputerDoctorTucson.com. Computer Doctor of Tucson, because technology is great when it works.
Welcome back to the Computer Doctor Show, your source for scam awareness, science, and cutting-edge technology talk. I'm Aaron Moss, your host, along with Alan, co-hosting today from the Unscrewed Theater. I actually have a beef that I need to get off my chest here. I ordered some flowers from blossomflowerdelivery.com. It's a national flower delivery service. Paid over $100 for this arrangement. It was for my parents' 49th anniversary. And they completely botched the order. It's obviously the wrong arrangement. I've been messaging them for the past 12 days on their Facebook page. They kept asking for 48 hours to get back to 48 hours. I had to wait three times of 48 hours for them to get back to me with answers to my questions. They offered me a $5 refund. I rejected that. They offered me a $10 refund. I rejected that. And I ultimately told him, I said, listen, you could either pick up the flowers and get me the right ones, or just I'm going to get my money back from my credit card. Okay. And they said they understand. And that's what they kind of left it at. So do not buy any flowers from blossomflowerdelivery.com. Again, blossomflowerdelivery.com. They have terrible reviews on the Better Business Bureau, so don't even bother. If you are ordering flowers, make sure that you're using a reputable company and don't make the mistake like I did. Before we get into our next segment, Alan, what can you tell us about the Unscrewed Theater?
Coming up in the month of October, we're offering several opportunities for live and live streaming performances of short form improv, as well as musical improv and longer form comic book style improv. One thing that I do want to hit on is our short form troupe, Not Burnout, Just Unscrewed, that formed Unscrewed Theater. We're having auditions on Sunday, October 10th, starting at 11 a.m. If that's something that interests you, we're located on Speedway and Swan in the Midway Business Park Center. Track us out. If you or someone you know would like to perform in front of a live audience, perform in front of a live streaming operation that your friends and family can watch you perform at, Unscrewed Theater's hosting auditions on October 10th. Information about our events, our shows, our workshops, because we also have a Shakespeare workshop hosted by our thespian co-member, I should say. Okay. Check us out on unscrewtheater.org.
Okay. Thanks, Alan. So yeah, if you're wanting to get into that kind of comedy for yourself, it's a lot of fun, right? And you get to be in front of a live audience. So how about that? Here are some science and tech anniversaries that happened this week. There's only one, actually, that I was able to find that's worth mentioning. The first Android phone, the G1, was released 13 years ago, September 23rd, 2008. And that was kind of like the beginning, kind of like the grassroots start for all Android products out there. So it's a pretty nice anniversary for them, 13 years with Android operating system. Hats off to Google and Samsung that Android are usually associated with. All right. Lots of Android devices out there. So we're going to move on to this next part with the time that we have left. So during this week, we actually had somebody that asked us, is it possible for someone to find you or track you down through the internet, social media? So let's say that, you connect to the internet. Now, we're not talking about people finding you like through 411 or through the phone book or even by doing a public record search. We're not talking about that. Okay. 411 is not really around too much. I tried to use 411 just before the show, gave me an error message, and it's probably not around anymore. So it's being outdated, 411. But can people really find you if you're just going on their website or what have you? So every time that you go to a website, the website that you go to actually logs your visit. When it logs your visit, it records your IP address of the computer that you logged on with. It may have some demographic information like what country you're in. And through that that IP address, they might even be able to see what neighborhood or even city that you're in. But it doesn't go much farther than that. So can somebody track you? Not really. Not just through that, but they'll have to use a cavalcade of other tools, tracking you down through an IP address is possible with other tools, but not just by itself. So a little bit of how this works is, you can do your IP connection through your address. So when you go to visit a site, your IP address of your computer is logged, but the only person who actually knows where you are is your internet service provider. So if you have CenturyLink or Cox or Xfinity, Comcast, they know that you went to that site. But in order for someone else to know, they're going to have to prove to the internet service provider that they can share that information with you. Usually it's government and security agencies, detective agencies are the ones that can usually get that information from the ISP. But even if they give you the ISP can only tell you where that connection terminates, okay? But you still have people that use VPNs, neighbors that share Wi-Fi, people that steal Wi-Fi, people that borrow and use other people's computers, or people that even use public access computers. So in any of these types of cases, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to actually be able to determine your name. Like, I can't know where Alan, goes online. I can't find Alan's name. I can't find Alan's street address, his email address, or his phone number just based on an IP address. So just by getting somebody's IP address does not really give you access to that person. There's so much more that needs to happen, so much more that I'm willing to say that can somebody track you down with just an IP address? My answer is not really. The IP, internet service provider can produce a termination point of that connection, but the way they do it in Hollywood spy movies and the way they do it on TV, that's just not real. What people can do and often do is if they want to grab your information, they'll send you to a website or email you something. They'll produce an offer that is so good that you put in your name, your address, your phone number on there to get this offer, and that's when they have you. Okay. So that's how it works. Before we wrap up, I just want to again thank our sponsor, Perfection Auto Works. Stop by their location on Speedway and Craycroft for your free 26-point inspection. This is episode 63. My name is Aaron Moss, your host and technology expert. Alan is co-hosting today. Tom Fairbanks is at the control board. Listen to the Computer Doctor Show each week with new episodes every Saturday. Stay safe, enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Enjoyed this episode of the Computer Doctor Show. If you missed any part of this live broadcast, we post all our episodes online at computerdoctorshow.com. Remember, the world is getting more and more tech, and so should you. To stay current with technology, listen to the Computer Doctor Show each week for local and global tech insights. If you have suggestions for a topic on a future show, send us an email at info@computerdoctorshow.com.